You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hold on, hold on. I forgot the music. It's 9:25 on the Tuesday. Joining me is the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, the gunner. Guy's even got a nickname. And it's cool. Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? Hello? Hey, take your phone off mute, man. Oh, my God. Hey, give him the big intro. Boy. All right, he's back. I don't know what happened, man. You all of a sudden you weren't there.
Yeah, it said call failed. It was on your line. You called me, and it came back that failed.
Oh, really? So it's my fault? It's not me. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, that was you.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. We were talking. How could the call have failed? I think it's a system situation.
Yeah.
And I gave you the big intro too, just so you know. I gave you the big intro the first time. You should have heard it. It was awesome.
Oh, cool. All right.
I don't do that often, but I fired it up for you, and yeah.
So overcome with emotion right now, I can hardly contain myself.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I had Brigadier General Tom Drowdy, United States Marine Corps, retired.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
On today, and we were just talking about we don't disclose troop movements anymore, like who's coming, who's going, all that kind of stuff, which is appropriate, right? I think we're all for that.
Who doesn't do that?
The United States, the DOD does not do that. Newspapers might,
okay,
but the DOD does not disclose that anymore, which I think we're all.
I thought they never did. When did they start doing it?
I don't know, but I think they used to do it with regularity during the war. The 82nd Airborne will be deploying to blah, 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 blah. Their mission is. And so he and I got kind of into a discussion, and I said, hey, you know, sir, what is our mission in Syria? So I'm kind of taking a little bit of an informal poll. What's our mission in Syria? Is it, I'll give you two choices. Is it regime change, Assad goes, or is it booting ISIS out of Syria?
You know what? So that's my question to me?
Yeah, that's a question to you.
Okay, that's simple. Here we go. Okay. I don't know. Next question.
All right. That's a legit answer.
If I knew, that means someone else knows, and that would mean that maybe America knows, and we would know why we're there.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a legit answer, just so everybody knows.
You'll ask all these think tank groups, and they give you this elaborate, it has to do with destabilization and vacuuming. Shut up. No one knows.
No, I just want to know the stated mission, why we're told we're there.
Oh, I think it is. I think the stated mission has something to do with harboring terrorism, fighters, fighting them, you know, that kind of thing, that bullshit again, but.
So bottom line is, we're not sure?
No, because if you look at it, remember we had this big disagreement, we were so pissed off that Russia was in Syria fighting them.
Right.
You know, but Russia committed boots on the ground. We were just dropping bombs and not even really doing a lot of that. A lot of the targets we never even dropped on. But yeah, if someone could tell me.
It's kind of interesting.
No bullshit.
Yeah, it's because, like, you know, it's not like we don't pay attention. There's certain things that we read and that catch our eye. There's other things that we just try to tune out. But that would catch our eye. Things like mission and stuff like that tends to catch our eye. So, right. So anyway, the other thing. So I'm talking to Drowdy, and he's a Vietnam guy, right? So I was asking him how he reads a book like Dereliction of Duty because he lived it, right? How do you read, you know, this, you know, the dysfunction of the DOD and the Joint Chiefs and all that kind of stuff? And I said, so I'm telling him about this Ned Seath interview. I said, you know, he's a machine gunner, and I said, and you know, he is trying to make one gun out of three guns. None of them work. So he's at night. The NVA, you know, they're in this. They're hooking and hooking. There's no jabbing going on. Okay, they're just hooking and hooking. And he said, you know, and here's the command: fix bayonets. And I said, sir, can you talk about that? I said, have you ever heard the command, you know, fix bayonets, other than in a Civil War movie? And he said, I gave it. I was like, what? He said, yeah, I gave it. We were hooking and hooking with the, I think it was Viet Cong. He said, we were into one of their bunker complex CPs, and they were standing and fighting. And, you know, we'd pounded them, we'd got in there, and we'd close with them, and then it was time, you know, to take the rest of it in close. And
right.
I said, what was that like? He said, it's pretty sobering. He said, I'll tell you that. He said, and, you know, the head snap when you give the order. And then, you know, my staff sergeant, you know, he said, he went down the line, and he said, but you know Marines. He said, how do you think they reacted? I said, they fixed bayonets. He said, that's right. I said, and then what? He said, and then we took the rest of the position. He said, but.
All right.
I was like, wow. I said, I've never spoken to anybody who's given that command. That's pretty, I don't even know what the right word in terms of a command to give. Not one you certainly hear very often, so anyway, how are things in Granbury today?
Windy.
Oh, is it?
A little windy.
A little warm,
yeah,
too.
Nice.
I heard it. I saw temperature was warm. Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
70 degrees when we checked air temperatures this morning. That was pretty, a little bit warmer than usual. You guys were in the 50s a few days ago. And, so, just saying.
Yeah.
I keep tabs of Granbury, just so you know.
Did
you watch the basketball game last night?
Mac, how many times do we have to go down this road?
Oh, basketball's not a sport. You didn't even watch the NCAA championship? That's kind of an event.
I mean, do you watch the PGA tournaments and the Masters? No.
I tend not to.
Because it's a hobby.
Golf.
I don't watch people do hobbies.
Basketball's a sport. You can't
see teams play, not individuals that look like they belong to a team.
College basketball, they still kind of team it up. It's not like the NBA. Where they straight up go solo on you. All right. But I know we've had this discussion.
The NCAA changed the lineup just to get more viewership. They rescheduled some of the divisions so they can have this matchup that would be epic proportion of viewership, and then we could charge more money. It's all that kind of bullshit, man. Yeah, the kids play. Okay, maybe some of the kids play for a lot of the, hey, I'm a Hoosier or I'm a Boilermaker. But more of them play because, hey, my meal ticket is on the other side of it. You know? And the NCAA is a bunch of criminals. It's a mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they do. And that's why I don't contribute to it. That's why I don't like watching. I don't go see movies with Susan Sarandon or George Clooney. Or Penn, or any of those dickweeds. I'm tired of their bullshit running their mouth. You know, so it's the same thing. I don't want to contribute anything, a dollar, to the NCAA. I don't want to put a buck in anybody's pocket that I don't appreciate.
So you just you're just living the life down in Granbury then.
Yeah. I calmed down yesterday, man, after that drive. Hey, you know,
you've got to prepare yourself mentally for that a little bit better.
Let me tell you something. And those that are listening, if you have a friend that continuously talks bad about other people,
yeah,
and you call him a friend, then you know what? He's talking bad about you too.
Ooh.
And I'm not saying that just because it's an experience. You know, I just experienced it. No, I was just thinking about it with some in the past, and I said it to him. I just kind of, I finally stopped and I said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you always saying something bad about somebody else when they're not here. Well, man, I said, you know what? This leads me to believe that you talk shit about me then. No, I don't talk shit. We're friends. You said the same thing about him. And you get that look in the deer, you know, like, shit, he's on to me.
He's on.
Either you're a friend or not. You don't talk about people with friends, you know? And rule number two is always maintain the moral high ground. You know, I hate when people stoop down to the level, you know, hey, let's go play at this level, so we got to be just this, we got to be this stupid or this bad, or this morally or, you know, ethically corrupt to play at that level. So, you know, and I say that because the friends I have now are good people, man. You know, and like I said, Mac, there was a small circle of us that were Marines that could rely on one another. But now we're separated by, you know, states, by, you know, thousands of miles of driving time. And so I think I'm what I'm saying is I'm fortunate to find myself in a situation where the guys that I live with are no different than you, Rudy, Bronzy, Luke, Schwartz. You know, Rich Allen, you know, Metro, you know, all of those guys. Just keep picking them out. Furness, Donnie Wright.
Yeah, you better think about who you're leaving off because they're gonna know.
Okay, so let's go through. Yeah, yeah, right.
It's Rich Elaine, not Allen.
Well, that's it.
Goop.
Allen. Oh,
Allen.
Metro.
Metro. The all right. No. I think that's hard in life because
and I'm fortunate, though.
They're inner sanctum kind of people, you know.
Yeah,
they're inner sanctum
kind
of people.
There's someone you can. Those are the kind of people that you could tell them something, and they're not going to judge you. They're going to, you know, they're good guys. They may make fun of you
a lot,
but that's not a guy going to kill you. You'll rebound from that.
The, let's see.
So, are you going to try and get a hold of the guy who wrote the book? We were talking about that. How crazy that was. If you were talking about one book, it reminded me to talk about another book, but it was written by the same guy. You know, and then we kind of had to talk about, I feel that the higher calling is a more epic proportional story because
and then you wanted like to compare stories like why do we have to compare, why do we have to do that, why do we have to go compare them, that your story was better than mine?
I didn't say it was better, you just said that.
You said that your story
was as good as mine.
That my story was like worse than yours.
Mac, your story was almost as good as mine. That doesn't make it any worse or less better. No, yours is a good story. It just so happened that, you know, the story I picked out was probably a little more interesting, I should say.
Unbelievable. First of all, I would never, I think getting in the business of judging valor is a bad business. First of all, so I would say they're equally incredible for the selfless acts, because ultimately what every one of these people did was put their own life at risk, except the guy driving the B-17. And maybe he could have done it as well. But if you missed yesterday, I saw a story over the weekend where the Navy named a destroyer after a guy, a naval aviator in the Korean War named Tom Huebner. Okay? And I asked Gunnar if he had heard it, and he said no. So I said, well, listen to this. He's friends with a guy named Jesse Brown. Jesse Brown's the first black naval aviator flying off carriers or flying Corsairs at the early part of the Korean War. They've been buddies, but they're very different. Brown's from Mississippi. Huebner's from Massachusetts. Huebner's a Naval Academy guy. So, I mean, extremely different. But as military does it, you know, you become friends, and you become more than friends. And Brown is shot down during the Chosin Reservoir battle. And so he's on the ground, pinned into his wreckage. And Huebner's circling. He sees he can't get out. So Huebner crash, does a belly, wheels up landing, crash lands his plane, gets out, and he's trying to extract Brown from the aircraft. But he can't do it. Helicopter lands, they have an axe, they still can't get him out. And he dies. And so they extract Huebner. But I mean, it's like, that's crazy, in terms of valor. Like, hey, my life's not significant here today, right now. And then Mike said, Mike, tell everybody, give everybody the thumbnail of the story that you told
about a crippled B-17 coming back from a bombing mission, was all messed up, and it was basically jumped by a ME-109 pilot who decided not to shoot at it. There's something inside of him. He, I don't know if he felt sorry, but I think he felt the struggle that these guys were, and then. You know, and it's that moment when you become human again in such a battle, a carnage like World War II, I can imagine.
So Mike says this, and he's telling me the name of the book. He says, yeah, because he said when I was first telling him the story, he says, yeah, I have that book. And then as I told it, he said, no, I have a different book. He said, and then he relayed the story, and then he said, what's the name of the book that you have?
Higher Calling.
A Higher Call. It's called A Higher Call, actually. And so I look it up, and it's like they're both written by the same guy, which is kind of crazy in and of itself. But I want to read, last night I was thinking about it. I want to read, A Higher Call because, how did the B-17 pilot track him down? The German pilot.
I don't know. That would be hard, man.
Had moved to Canada. And it looked like the video was shot in they looked like they were guys in their 60s. So if they were, let's just say they were both 25 in 1945, and they're in their 60s, that's 40 years later. That's around 1985. The internet was not so much in 1985. And how did he track him down if he had moved to Canada? You know, did they have a picture of this Messerschmitt with a number on it that he could trace back to him? How did they know? So I was thinking about that last night. So I have to read the book. Do you have the book?
Yeah, I have the book.
Okay, I have to read the book. So I'm interested to do that. But as Mike said, I mean, as a combatant, you know, and let's just say this guy had family in Dresden that had been firebombed. And you know, it's 1944 when this happens. And so, Germany's existence is in doubt. And so he jumps this B-17 that's wounded and hobbling and obviously astray. And he would be perfectly justified in destroying the aircraft because it's the crew, man. If I don't kill these guys, they're going to be overdressed and they're going to kill more Germans. And yet he doesn't do it. And a pretty interesting decision there. And how they find each other. And then you see their emotional reunion and them talking about it. And then he meets his family. And I saw a little blurb that, you know, none of these people exist. I think his name's Hans or Fritz Stiegler. None of these people exist if you pull that trigger that day. And all these other people from the rest of the bombing crew, all the rest of these guys and all those people out there. And by now, I mean, it's probably, you know, between 100 and 200 people with kids and grandkids and all of that and spouses and all that. None of this exists if you pull that trigger. Pretty amazing story.
Yeah, an epic story.
Yeah, so very cool, very cool. Do you think the 49ers are going to trade down? They have the number 2 pick in the draft. Do you know anything about that?
No.
What do you, so, and you haven't built the plane, so, I don't understand, like, since you got better.
I've been busy with this, I've been shooting a lot more, I've been, teaching a lot more,
tonight was girl night, right?
Yeah, tonight's the Golden Range.
I'm fired up about that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun.
How far is the range from your house? What kind of range?
Indoor shooting range, really nice. Lone Star Gun Range.
Lone Star Gun Range. I like the name, man. I like the name.
Yeah. A little catchy.
All right. Budget woes threaten to threaten Marine Corps program to defeat enemy drones. I can hardly wait, man.
Yeah, whatever they come up with that, we're going to be ground baking.
Exactly. What are we going to do? We're going to shoot shotgun rounds out of shotguns that have little nets on them, and they're going to take the drone though. Yeah.
Great.
Right?
Yeah. I can hardly wait.
Exactly. It's going to be something. Trust me, the boys and girls will figure it out. Okay? They'll figure it out. They'll figure out how to knock down a drone. Hey, just call that F-18 in on a low run, and we'll create enough turbulence that it'll fall out of the sky, okay? Just tell them. We want to do a show for us. They'd love that kind of stuff. All right. What else is in the news?
I don't know. I don't watch it, so.
You sound like you're a different person now that you don't watch the news.
The news is out, man.
The news is out?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get tied up in it anymore, and I feel better about it.
Number one headline today. Scores reported killed in gas attack on Syrian rebel area. The Syrian government dropped chemical aviation ordinance today. So
really?
Yeah. That's you're, for people who don't know, we're not supposed to do that. There's Geneva Convention, law of land warfare stuff that says we're not supposed
to. Hague Convention stuff.
Yeah. We're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to drop that stuff on people. But I don't know that the Arabs care about that kind of stuff. Mike?
No, I don't think, yeah. Not.
They don't care.
No. They don't. They don't give a shit. What else is going on in the news then?
I don't know. It's awful. I was just watching some video of it. Little kids, you know, they're trying to, in the video that's out on Reuters, it's awful. It's awful. They're trying to rinse people off to get the agent off them. The problem is they've been held it. You know, it's so horrible, man. These are innocent people. I mean, okay. Let's talk about something else because that just pissed me off. I just, Mike and I have been unfortunate to go to parts of the world where, we see this stuff, and that is take it out on innocent people. Not the combatants, take it out on innocent people. I just like, where is the Middle East leaders that will ultimately someday stand up and say, enough of this? You know, jihad is against another warlike group, not innocent people. But I don't know, those people don't seem to those people don't seem to want to stand up anymore. So anyway, what else, Mike? Talk to me. Say something happy.
Let's see.
Say something happy. Come on. Like nothing? You got nothing?
Tonight. I'm going to shooting tonight.
All right. What's going on in Tina's life? Your wife.
I'm starting a new job.
Oh, really? That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So
that'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Let's see. Colleen's going to Washington D.C. with her eighth grade class. So she's excited about that. Now, she's already been, and I think she's most excited about seeing my son John, who's stationed in Quantico. He's going to get to come up and have dinner with her. And his wife Susie and Colleen's nephew Finn, who's a year and a half. I said, you know, Colleen, you have to bring Finn a present. She said, what? I said, yeah, you're not the little kid anymore. You're the aunt now. Do you want to be the doofus aunt who showed up with no present? That's not good. She said, what do I get? I said, get him a toy and candy. Kids, that's what kids love. She said, okay. So, yeah, so Colleen's going to do that tour. You know how when you're around D.C., you see these buses all the time, and there are middle school and high school kids that come on these week-long tours. They show up on, like, Monday, and they go home on Friday. And they're on these buses, and they're just wearing it out the whole day to try to see D.C. in a week. Which is impossible, but you could try. And but again, it's a big business because there's buses all the time up there. Kids from all over the country showing up. And I mean, these kids from California, never been to the nation's capital. So I think it's an awesome program because I think once you see that stuff, it changes you a little bit in terms of how you feel about the country. So a trip every adult should do, and they ought to take their kids with them. So, yeah. Do you have a favorite thing in D.C. to go, if I ask you what your favorite historic place in D.C. is, what would you tell me?
Historic? I like the museums.
Which one? Pick one.
All the Smithsonian. Any one of the Smithsonians I truly enjoy. The natural history. All the art ones, the aeronautics,
yeah,
all of that type, yeah.
You know what? I think that, just my personal opinion, that one of the coolest things about, probably the coolest thing about being stationed back in Quantico is you can go up there on your leisure. You can go up there on your leisure and you can check it out. Joining us from is Montana Man. That's his name now. Do you know that you don't have a name? You're Montana Man now?
Yeah, evidently, I've been kind of picking that up over the last few weeks. my identity shifted to a state.
But it is. But it's like Montana Man. So everybody's got this picture, this image of you, Montana Man, like the Marlboro Man.
Yeah. No, I'll send one in so you can put it on your Facebook page.
We have one. We have one, but I think if you just stay Montana Man, it's kind of like mythical, you know, it's bigger than life kind of character.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm not complaining.
Not for, I mean, for us who know you, Mike, you know, we know you, so it's not like that for us, but other people, yeah.
No, I had a question for Gunner.
Yeah.
I'm trying to set up a pistol range at the house in Idaho, and I got about... Oh, it's about a 10-foot berm, but it's, you know, it's kind of dirt with, you know, 6-8-inch rock in it, kind of shaley rock. Do I got to worry about ricochets in a, you know, 7 to 25-yard range?
Yep.
Yeah, so find a different spot.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Damn it. There's not many flat spots out there. I got one flat spot, and that's it.
Can you get more soil and dump it in there?
Yeah, I could probably get some topsoil, but it's cut into a mountain, so it's pretty steep above it. And
another thing we do is, I don't know if this sand is readily available. So you just get, you know, a couple loads of sand and then put that in there.
Yeah, that might be what I have to do. Damn it, I hope it's going to be a lot easier than that.
Nope.
That was the wrong answer, Gunner.
Yeah. you can, well, I figured like he'd know, and I'd rather do everything once, right?
Yeah, just like shooting off a horse. People ask me that, hey, can you shoot off that horse? Oh, yeah, you can shoot off that horse once.
Once.
Explain to everybody why. Yeah. Explain to everybody why once.
Well, because you're probably going to end up getting tossed off and then run over. Yeah, there's probably you're probably going to get ejected.
They do that in the movies though, all the time.
Yeah, I remember Robert Redford tried to do it that one time, shooting over his horse's back, and the man from Snowy River. He shot over his horse that one time, and the thing just bolted. That's pretty accurate, I'm guessing.
You've never tried?
No, I've trained a few of mine. I still haven't mustered up the balls to get up on top of them and do it. You know, you start kind of have them tied off loose to a tree and start 50 yards away, shoot a little bit, get closer, kind of break them into it that way. But even then, they still don't like it. And I'd rather just take a moment to get off and do it that way.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
you have no rest when you're up there. You don't want to try and, you know, rest your rifle in between your mule's ears. That never goes well.
But that's generally, if the target is, you know, say within 45 degrees of center either way, that is generally right over the top of your horse or mule's ear.
Yeah. No, they're not going to like it, even if they've been damn well broke to it. It's going to be pretty freaking sketchy, no matter what.
Yeah, but in the movies, they don't even flinch. This guy's busting rounds, and the horses are just like, zooming around. Are they deaf?
Yeah.
Are they deaf?
No, I think they probably just have little smoke clouds come out, and then they add the bang later.
Is that how they did
not
that?
Movie tech, but
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, you're a gun guy. Is that true? Mike?
If it's the movies you're talking about horses that are trained big time for that.
Yeah, there's not many out there, though. You're not just going to pull one out of somebody's stable and start shooting off of them.
Go shoot. No.
Nope. But you can try it once. I mean, like Mike says.
Yeah, anything works. Everything works the first time. But there's
you may not get your horse back.
It doesn't.
Probably going to be in North Dakota.
You guys are like busting some icons in my head. Like, that's not just how that goes. Wow. Who knew? Who knew?
No, you're welcome to come out and try it. I'll have the video rolling.
I'm thinking that I'm all right. Never, you know what? I've never been one of those guys who's like, yeah, hey, I want to be the first guy. Like, no, like, I'll be the third guy. All right. How about that? Because he's got to go first because you know him. And then we'll figure it out there from there. What's the weather like? Give us a Montana weather update.
Oh, the snow just finished melting off from last night. We got about an inch. And supposed to be a little bit sunny coming up. So not bad. Probably get up in the mid-50s. Spring's coming. Yeah. Turkeys are out. Grass is getting a little bit green. So I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
So you've adopted Gunner's kind of position relative to the news. You're not watching the news anymore?
No, that was my original position, and you guys gave me a bunch of crap for moving to Montana and burying my head in the sand. And all of a sudden, slowly but surely, everybody's coming around to, you know, it's just a better life.
head down, better life.
Yeah, that's right. Shit. In this day and age, it's. You can't. I mean, you put your head up, you freaking give yourself heartburn, man.
You're a fan of Ned Cease's interview. How about that guy?
How about that guy? I was going to look at some cows yesterday, and so we were in the truck for the entire show, and I had my cow guy with me, and slipped that on and turned it up, and we didn't talk for that entire interview, and we had business to discuss on the way, but we just blew it off, and we just sat there and listened to the whole thing. He's like, man, this is freaking incredible. And that's why I asked you, you know, is it on every Monday? Because he was like, well, is this on every week? I'm like, yeah, freaking, I think it's on Monday. Hold on, let me check.
So,
he got hooked pretty quick.
That's an incredible story, though. I mean, he talks about his company killing 900 NBA.
Yeah, it said that yesterday, and both of us just looked at each other like, holy shit. man. I go, that's a pile of freaking bodies right
there.
That's
a lot of them, man. That is a lot of guys. So, anyway. All right, what's
next for the Crossroads deal?
Oh, no, that Matt Morgan, man. He's, you know, but these guys are just heroes in our midst, man. It's people they met in the community. Like, hey, well, what were you doing? Oh, yeah. You know, I was in 3-4 in Vietnam, but you know, the guy you ought to talk to is Ned. And here's Ned. He's like 6'5", 300, and right, and he's just retired from the railroad. You were in the Marine Corps? Yeah, I did some time in the Marine Corps. I did some time. And then, you know, then he tells you the story, and they're like, "What the hell, man?" And so. Those, they're in all kinds of different communities, and it's heroes in our midst, man. I love that stuff. And you sit there with you, but you do, like, your experience in the car, in the truck. You draw on the ground, dropping. Just like Mike's story yesterday about, you know, the Messerschmitt pilot who doesn't pull the trigger.
Right. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. All right. Rest of the afternoon in Montana, what are we doing?
Well, I got a bunch of phone calls to do, and I gotta get our fields rolled. We're gonna plant alfalfa over the next month. We've got fields turned, and we'll roll them out, and then we'll drill in seed probably in about 2 weeks, so we don't get a frost issue. So I'm gonna hop on that, and then I got a couple cow deals, and I gotta chase down. We're gonna bring on about 120 pairs of cows, and trying to find them right now is a little difficult for the right price.
Wow. Is there anything you don't do? Okay, so let me get this straight. You're raising livestock. Now you're going to be a farmer. You're building a range. You got a hunting preserve, and you got a fat Jack Russell. And what don't you do up there in Montana?
No, we got to do it all, man. There's 12,000 acres to keep track of, and I got some interns coming up the middle of next month, so that'll help a lot. We got a lot of stock tanks to go through, water line to fix, things that, you know, I'm trying to get to the more of standing around and pointing aspect of the manager's job instead of the bending over and lifting.
Doesn't sound like you've cracked that code yet.
Yeah. Not yet. No, I'm working on it, though. I got my brother-in-law. He's a retired Marine colonel. I'm going to try and get him for $15 an hour and get him out here.
Really?
Mowing grass.
What's his name? What's his name?
Mike Chancellari. Or Chancellari. I can't even.
Mike Chancellari?
He's an air defense guy, and he was the senior air defense rep
of
for the Marine Corps. So he was at the headquarters Marine Corps doing that for his last tour.
If it flies, it dies.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't even have the heart to ask him. I haven't yet in all these years. When was the last time you all shot one of them things in anger?
Korea?
Yeah. You weren't born yet. Remember that.
All right, Gunner, give us the Granbury update. What do you got going this afternoon?
Getting ready to go to the range. That's all I got to do.
Range prep? You got range prep all afternoon?
Yeah.
let me dial that way for everybody. Range prep.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, boys.
I gotta go.
You guys have a good one. Yep. See ya.
All right, Mac. Thanks.
There you have it. Public service here on All Marine Radio. Setting up ranges in Montana. All of that. That'll do it. That's right. That'll do it. This program repeats itself in approximately 60 seconds, so don't touch that dial. You're going to listen to Tom Drowdy when it does. And so, again, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. I want to thank, in order of appearance, that you'll hear him. Tom Drowdy, United States Marine Corps Brigadier General. We talk about a couple things. One is Pentagon new policy, not announcing troop rotations, deployments, etc. How's he feel about that? Next thing we talk about is, what is our mission in Iraq? And then we kind of start talking about Vietnam, and he tells his fixed bayonet story. So if you didn't hear that, don't touch your dial, man. It's pretty interesting stuff. And then you'll hear Ned Seath, you'll hear that interview, all four parts consecutively. All right, so we broke them up over the course of a two-week period. So you'll get to hear it in one single hour. Pretty amazing little bit of audio. And then the gunner joins me, and we talk about whatever we talk about, building shooting ranges in Montana. So thanks for listening on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio, out.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.